lesson today is found in the 15th chapter of the Gospel of Luke concerning the prodigal son. We find, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners to hear him." We have here then a group of publicans who were tax gatherers, who were Jews, but who took this position because they wanted to get rich, and many of them did get rich, and they were hated by the Jewish people because they were collecting taxes for the Romans, and likewise, they always added a little to it for themselves. And then sinners, it says here, publicans and sinners. By sinners, we may understand those that openly lived in sin, publicly did so many sins that everyone knew them to be such. These characters, they came and drew near to hear Christ. They didn't draw near for curiosity's sake to see him. They didn't come with any cures that they needed. They came to hear him. They came to be instructed by him. They came to listen to the doctrines that flowed from his lips. I wonder if any of you have come up this afternoon like these publicans and these sinners to hear Jesus. Has it been your prayer before you come here that you would hear his voice, that you long to hear his voice? It is good for any soul to draw near unto Christ. The psalmist says, "It is good for me to draw near unto God." Have you ever been given to do that? I would put it this way. Has he ever drawn you to come near to himself? What a blessing if you have been given to do this as a publican, as a sinner. These characters, of course, they were looked down upon, especially by the Pharisees, who in the next verse we read of, "And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured and said, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." They then looked down upon Christ. They thought it was beyond his dignity to gather with such creatures. Probably if you and I were on earth at that time, and we've seen Christ in the midst of such characters, we would say the same thing. We would say, "What's he doing there? Why isn't he in the temple? Why don't he go to them people that come to the house of God to worship him? Here he is in the midst of rabble, sinners, publicans." These Pharisees, you would say, they had a right to murmur and to complain. Oh, no, my dear hearers, no. Jesus is a friend of sinners. He came into the world for sinners. He proclaimed, even in the Old Testament, by the mouth of his prophets, that he had no delight in the death of the wicked, but therein that they turn and live. This was his theme when he was here upon earth. This is why he mingled with sinners. This is why he was despised by the Pharisees, because they thought that they were the only good creatures in the world. They couldn't understand that Christ would sit down with such creatures. They never would. Not them. They were too holy. They were too good. They didn't want to be mingled with such people. And they, in this way, did not think that Jesus was the Messiah, that he was the Christ. He surely wouldn't sit down with such trash as they thought it was. Oh, my dear hearers, what a mercy that it says here. This man, the Pharisees said this, but it's such a truth. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. How many sinners have I in my midst? Sinners made so by the Spirit of God, who have their feeling in their hearts for Jesus, who need him, who desire that he would draw near unto them and make himself known unto them. What a blessing if you are such a sinner, my dear hearers. Oh, then at times you may be given likewise to eat with him. Oh, what a mercy to be brought under the means of grace, to read His precious word, to hear it taught, to hear it preached, and to be given to partake, to eat. Oh, what a mercy to have a little crumb fall from His table into your heart. So these Pharisees then despised Christ because He sat down with such people. And I'm so glad that He sits down with such creatures, Lord. Do sit down with us this afternoon. Please, be with us. We are sinners. We need Thee. So this precious Jesus, He made a parable before these Pharisees, pointing out to them what sort of characters they were. And He said unto them, a certain man had 100 sheep, and he lost one of them. And he left the 99 sheep in the wilderness, and he went to seek the one that was lost. And when he found this sheep, he came back. He put it upon his shoulders, rejoicing. And he called his friends and his neighbors together and said unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. Yea, I say unto you that there is joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons that need no repentance. Now, this parable is directed to these Pharisees. This sheep is a type of each and every one of us. This sheep was lost. This shepherd, when he went over his sheep and he counted them, he missed this one sheep. And therefore, he left the others and he went to seek this sheep. He sought it all over and finally he found it. How happy he was when he found this sheep. He put it on his shoulders and he came home with it. The type, my dear hearers, of Jesus Christ, that great shepherd, going out to seek his sheep. We by nature, we likewise have gone away from God, every one of us. And we have no inclination in us to return to Him. And we have no power to return unto Him. But He comes out to speak to those that are named by God the Father, those whose names are in the Book of Life. And then He comes and He seeks them. He seeks them under the means of grace. He speaks to them. He encourages them to return unto Him. He comes into their conscience. He strives with them by His blessed Spirit. And He gives that they become willing to return unto Him where they are unwilling. And then when He finds such a sheep, then He is rejoicing. He takes such a sheep. It says here in this parable that the shepherd took him and put him on his shoulders and rejoiced. We read of Christ that He gathers His lambs in His arms and carries them in His bosom. Here it points out the care, the love that Jesus has for His sheep. And He carries them on His shoulders. He bears with them. He gives them the strength that is necessary and the power that is necessary to go away from all other things and to follow Him. Oh, what a blessing to be found of Jesus, to be one of these sheep. And He says that in heaven there is joy over such a sinner that repents more than over 99 just persons. Jesus is teaching these Pharisees and scribes. They didn't need any repentance. They were holy in themselves. They did good works, and they thought by these things they would go to heaven. And therefore He points out to them that if one of these publicans, one of these sinners that He was sitting down with, was given true repentance, was given a return, why then there was joy in heaven. Joy by God the Father. Joy with Christ Jesus over such a sinner, a publican, such a creature who goes groaning, crying, begging, entreating the Lord for mercy. Oh, there is joy when this takes place in the heart of any sinner here below. These Pharisees did not need this. This 99 just person points out the Pharisees. We could explain it in this way, that there are angels in heaven who never fell, who are just, who need no repentance. There are likewise redeemed souls that had repentance while they were here, and they are in heaven, and they don't need any more repentance. As a seeking soul, as a crying soul, and a longing soul, is given true repentance. But it verily teaches the Pharisees what sort of a character they were of. They thought that they were the only people that God had anything to do with, that they were the only ones that were given to repent and given pardon and peace. God did not have anything to do with publicans and with sinners, no. They were cast out by them. They wouldn't have anything to do with them. But Jesus teaches the opposite. And he goes on and speaks another parable. A certain woman had 10 pieces of silver, and she lost one piece. And she began to sweep the house and seek for this piece that she had lost. She lit a candle so she could see where it was. And finally, after diligently seeking it, she found it. And she went to her neighbors and friends and said, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece of silver that I lost." And then Jesus says, there is joy amongst the angels in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. It takes us back to the first parable. It's very similar to that. So the money that this woman had was hers. So likewise, those that are by grace wrought upon are those that God owns. He owned them in eternity. He gave them to his Son. They are his people. He loves them. And this woman, seeking diligently, finding this piece of silver, teaches us that God likewise has a special care, a special love for his people, and that he seeks them out. And when they are found by him, then there is joy amongst the angels. These angels, they never fell. They are pure spirits. And when made known of the conversion of a publican or a harlot here below, there is joy amongst them. Oh, I wish there would be some joy this very afternoon in heaven for some poor sinner listening to me that may be wrought upon, to think that in heaven above it is known when a sinner is born again, that these angels rejoice with God. Oh, what a blessing, my hearers, to be given true repentance, a true godly sorrow for our many sins, a returning back unto God, from whom we all have fell away in Adam. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ was teaching in these parables. And now he goes on to speak about a certain man had 2 sons. Who is this man? Who does he mean by this man? None other but God the Father. He is the Father of all creatures, the creator of every one of us. And now this parable says that he had 2 sons. We all, in a state of righteousness, were sons and daughters of the Lord God Almighty. And we, in and through sin, have fell away from him. And now we find that this younger son, he spake unto his father and said, "Father, give unto me the goods that falleth unto me." This younger son, he was dissatisfied with being under his father's government. He didn't like the stay home anymore. He didn't want to live anymore in the house with his father because his father's eye was upon him. Oh, how many young men and women likewise are like this younger son. He is a type of every one of us. We all are in this respect like this younger son. He was then dissatisfied in the home where he had been born, where he had been brought up. He had a good father. He treated him very kindly. He had everything that he wanted. He needed nothing. But still, he was desirous to get away, to go out into the world and live on himself. He wanted to be his own master. He wanted to be his own boss. He didn't want to have anybody dictating to him what he wanted to do. And now he comes to the father and he says, "Give me the goods that falleth unto me." Oh, there are many children like this too in the world that think they could handle their money better than their parents. And they think that they have a legal right to some part of the fortune that their father and mother have gathered together. They don't. But they think so, and they would like to have it. And now this young son, he asked his father for the goods that would fall unto him when his father died. Then he would be given a portion of what his father had owned. And now it says, without any complaint, that shows you the goodness, the kindness of this father, he dealt unto him his living, unto them. He gave him then what he would get if his father had died. He probably gave it also to the elder son. But if you read at the end of this chapter, you find that the father says to the elder son, "All that I have is thine." So it seems that the elder son said to the father, "You keep what I'm supposed to get. I'll take it when I'm supposed to get it." But this younger son, he then was given to experience the kindness of his father, that his father was willing to please him, that he gave him everything that he thought he had coming to him. He had no complaint about what his father gave him. And now this younger son, he had it in his mind to leave home. He wanted to go away. And we read, not long after, the youngest son, he gathered all together, and he left. And he went into a far country. This younger son, having everything gathered together, probably had suitcases, probably had the money with him, and now he was going to leave his father's home. I can picture in my mind this natural, not spiritually, but naturally, I picture in my mind the father. He goes out with his son, and this son, he leaves him. I think the father stood with tears in his eyes, and I think that father had such a feeling in his heart that he would like to go to that son and embrace him and say, "Son, son, don't go away, stay." But no, he had his mind made up, and off he went. Did he look around at his father standing there watching him? I don't think he did. He had his mind on the money and where he was going to go and what he was going to do. How he was going to live. He was going to live like a king now with all what he had. And he left. He left his father's home. He's a type of every one of us. When God created you and I, we had everything that we needed. We were like God. We were perfect. But it didn't please any one of us in Adam to be satisfied with what God had given unto us. And we, like this prodigal son, we have left God. We have fallen away from God. And this younger son, he went into a far country. What country was that? He went into the world. So we have went into the world. And we were cast out of paradise. And we are in the world, and we delight ourselves in the world. We are pleased with the things in this world, satisfied with them. And this younger son, he went and he took all that his father had given him, And he went into this far country, and the Bible says, and he lived riotously. That means that he lived like a king. He did not deny himself any pleasures that he wanted. For he had enough money, he thought, to live for a long, long time. And he found plenty of friends. You got money, you have friends. Especially if you're willing to pay. You sit down and have a meal or something, you pay for the meal, you pay for the drink, you're the friend of that person. And this is the way he obtained friends. He probably got himself some nice clothes, dressed neatly, and he found quite a few women who were harlots, who he lived with. So this is the life that this young man began to lead after he had left his father's home. A life which would soon ruin his health, which would soon bring him down into the grave. So this is the life this young man was leading. And as he was leading this life, God sent a great famine into that country. As you all know what a famine is, there was a shortage of food. They couldn't grow anything. The ground was bare and barren. There wasn't any food to be had, practically. And he had spent all that he had. He didn't have any more money left. Two things came on him. He became a poor beggar, and he likewise became a hungry creature because there was nothing to eat. So he had to do something. So he hired himself out to a citizen of the country there. Who was meant by the citizen? None else but the devil. He hired himself out to him to be a slave of him. He hired himself out to him to take care of his swine in the field. And now, he wasn't the person that fed these swine. They had men that took care of that. And when they brought the food to feed these swine, he was standing there. He was so hungry, he would like to take some, but nobody offered him any. No. This is the state and condition that this young man came into. Oh, how many young men, in like respect, come to a position like this young man. And all, many of them are too proud. Many of them never come to themselves like this young man did. It was by the grace of God that this young man was brought to himself. Here he is on this place taking care of the swine. If he had been a Jew, it was a shame for him to take care of swine. If he had been taking care of sheep, it would have been something yet. That's what David did, and that's what Abraham had, and that's what Job had, but he had to take care of swine. And swine were unclean animals. The Jews wouldn't have anything to do with them. But he had to take care of them. How low that this young man sunk, even in his position, after having so much given to him by his father. And now as he is laboring here in this field, then the Bible says he came to himself. By this it means that he began to remember back home. How good he had it. What a good father he had. How well off his father was. How much food and plenty to eat there was. And he began to remember that his servants, even his father's servants, they had more to eat than he had at this present time. They had plenty. And he didn't have anything to eat. The thought now of the goodness of his father, the blessings that he had when he was home, and the state and condition in which he was in, this brought him to himself. He began to bring home to himself, who have I to blame but nobody but myself? It's my own fault that I'm in this position. I spent everything my father gave me, and here I am now. And I don't even have anything to eat. I'll perish from hunger. And I think these thoughts started to come up in his mind. Shall I go back to my father? Ah, he'll never take me back anymore. I wasn't doing the right thing when I left my father. I should have never done that. And if I do go back, he'll reject me. He wouldn't have anything to do with me. He'll probably chase me away. But considering how good his father had been, how kind he had been to him, there arose a hope in his soul that probably his father would take him back. And then he began to think, well, what shall I say to my father when I come back? He began to form some kind of a message. And he says to himself, I will arise, and I will say unto my father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be a son of thine. Make me one of thy hired servants. He then thought out what he was going to say to his father before he came to him. And now when he made this resolution, he didn't stop to consider it. He didn't wait, say, 10 or 12 or 15 days and then consider it again. No, he immediately, he came to his resolution and he immediately said, I will arise. He left his place of employment. He was just in doing this because what was he doing? He wasn't doing anything that was good and he didn't have anything to eat. So he left his place of employment and he started to go back to his father. Quite a journey probably. And on this journey, when he was coming back, I guess he had all kinds of distresses in his mind. Now, would his father receive him? Would he reject him? And if he did receive him, would he put him amongst the hired servants? He would have all sorts of troubles if he was placed amongst them. But these thoughts probably were his as he traveled towards his father's home. This young son, he got near to the borders of the country where his father's house was. And we find the Bible teaches us that the father, he went out probably every day and stood on a certain elevation looking to see whether his son came back or not. We see here the love of this father. In all probability, he was praying that God would bring him back. And every day he went to look. And there, lo and behold, he sees him in the distance, far off. There comes his son. What does the scripture say? He ran to meet him. It shows you the love that his father had for this son. He ran to meet him, and he fell on his neck, and he kissed him. And then this son begins to say this little speech that he had made up, Father, I have sinned against heaven and for thee, and am no more worthy to be called a son of thine. That's as far as he got. He couldn't say the rest, make me one of thy hired servants, because the father didn't keep any of them. So this son was received in love. And this father is a type of God in heaven above. Oh, what a wonderful meeting this was for this son. Many times I've read this, and I pictured this father running to meet this son, falling on his neck and kissing him. And if you have ever experienced this in your life, and I hope every one of you has experienced it, that this God comes out to meet you, a sinner like you, and falls on your neck and kisses you and gives you a token of his love, of his favor, you'll never get over it. Never. Never. The wonder of God coming to a sinner like you and I, who have all run away from him and who will have nothing to do with him by nature, but who he, by his blessed spirit, brings, just as he brought this young son back to his father's house. I wonder how many of you listening to me have ever come to yourself. Have you ever stopped to consider what your life has been? What you have done against this good God in heaven above? How much sin you have committed against him all your life long? And have you ever considered how good he has been to you? That he fed you, that he clothed you, that he blessed you beyond so many others in this world? And probably you've been sick and he restored you back to health. So many mercies he showed to you. Has your heart ever been softened? You know, the goodness of God leads us to true repentance. And when we are given to see this goodness of God towards us, it breaks, it humbles, it melts. Then we are like this prodigal son. I will return. Whatever he does with me is good. If he doesn't want to have me anymore, if he wants to reject me, it's righteous. If he wants to damn me and send me to hell, it's right too. I deserve that. But I'm going back to him. Have you ever been brought there, my dear hearers? Oh, I hope that God may bring you all there, and that you may be given to experience the reception that this younger son found. The father wasn't angry with him. The father did not reject him. The father did not bring up to him what he had done. He didn't mention anything to him, not a thing. Oh, how wonderful is this God. He never brings before us the things that we have done against him. But he overshadows us with his presence, with his love, with his mercy. And now the father called upon the servants to bring a robe out, and to bring a ring out, and to bring shoes out. They clothed him with a new clothes of garment. They gave him a ring on his finger, and they put new shoes on his feet. They all have spiritual meaning, my dear hearers. And then the father says, take the fatted calf and kill it. And then they started to have a feast. They started to be merry. For the father says, this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he is found. And they began to be merry. Oh, this is a type of joy in heaven, my dear hearers, over one sinner that is given to return back to God. So it was in this house, naturally, as Jesus was explaining it. Oh, this father was overwhelmed with joy because this son had returned. He never said a word to him about what he had done with his money, who he had lived with, how he had squandered it, nothing of the kind. He received him graciously. He was so glad that he came back. Do you believe that God would be glad to you that you came back to him? I'm sure he would. Oh, if he should be so good and so gracious to you and give you that repentance that I've been trying to explain to you about, then you will find that God will be glad with you, that he loves you, that he don't see any sin in his Jacob nor any evil in his Israel. Oh, what a wonderful blessing this is in life, my dear hearers. And now Jesus goes on with this parable, and speaking unto the Pharisees and scribes, he says that the eldest son was in the field when this took place. And when he came near to the house, he heard the music and he heard the dancing. And he asked one of the servants, what's going on at home? Well, he says, your father has received is turned back. And therefore, he says, we are having a feast. He's killed a fatted calf for him. And he became angry. This eldest son, he was the type of the Pharisees. He became angry. He wasn't a bit glad that this younger son came home. Oh no. So when the father heard that the eldest son didn't want to come in, he went out to him. See here the kindness of God in this father. He went out to him and he entreated him to come in. And this eldest son, he said unto him, I have served thee all these years and never broke thy commandments, but you never gave me a kid and give us to make merry with my friends. He then was dissatisfied with what God or his father had done. And this is the attitude of this younger son, and the attitude likewise of the Pharisees and scribes towards sinners who God gives repentance, who God gives to return unto himself. And this eldest son, he refused to come in. And the father spake to him and said unto him, that his son, who had been dead, was made alive, and who had been lost, was found, and there it was right for them to make merry. But we do not read that the eldest son went in. There are some, and I've read them too, that take this eldest son to be a Christian too. That he says that he never transgressed God's commandments and that he never left the home like the youngest son did. He didn't lead a life like the youngest son did. And they take this because they were two sons, they were two brothers, and that they were both Christians. I would not take that point. I would picture this eldest son as one of these Pharisees and scribes, and that he became angry. And this happens, of course, even amongst the people of God, so that they become angry when they see some sinner that has went to the end of sin, we would say, and lived so terribly, and God brings such a sinner back. Then not every Christian is happy because this takes place. They should be. There should be joy amongst them. But the human nature sometimes has the upper hand. If the Spirit of God is in exercise, then they marvel at what God has done. This love of God towards sinners, oh, who can comprehend it? Who can explain it? Oh, may you experience it, which would be far better. Then you will know something of it for your own self. And then you will see yourself in this parable of this younger son. May God in his infinite mercy bless our feeble explanation to your immortal soul. That's all for today.